Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome into hour number two of Thunder and Tommy here on the Mason Crosby Show. We're presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Lots of trades yesterday in the NFL. The New York Jets are now the Oklahoma City Thunder of the NFL. They own 14 first-round picks in the next 3 years. All right, that's not true. But they do own quite a bit more than the average Joe, I would say.
Yeah.
Picking up lots of picks. You know what? I have nothing wrong with declaring bankruptcy on your current team and planning for the future.
I
just don't trust the Jets.
The number one overall pick for Packers podcasters, you're on the clock. Who are you taking?
Andy Herman?
Oh.
Like, is there a question?
Andy Herman?
Do I have to think about Aaron? I mean, I love Aaron Nagler. Like, let's be honest. Like, Nags is great, Bukowski's good dude. But they're all like they're fighting for number two, because number one is the man, the myth, the legend, the alpha, Andy Herman. Hi, Andy.
Fellas, how you doing? Thank you for the intro. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, of course.
When you're the alpha, you're the alpha, and you just own it, and you just move on with your day.
Andy, why didn't the Packers make any trades? Let's just get right into it. Yeah. Should we have expected trades, or should we have been like, yo, you guys got Micah Parsons at the beginning of the year,
and
relax.
Should we just be fans of different teams now, because we hate the Packers now?
Yes. No. So I think there's been two trade deadline deals in the history of the franchise. Neither of them really amounted to anything. So, probably shouldn't have expected anything. It's always fun to, think of who they could get and conjecture and discuss and water cooler it and figure out what trades would be fun and do fake trades and whatnot. But I think a couple things played into this. One is obviously going, kind of all in and getting Micah Parsons right before the season, limiting your sort of future draft capital. If you're looking for like a player for player, A, those things are really tough. B, some of the positions that maybe would be deemed strengths, like wide receiver and defensive end, are beat up at the moment. Jaden Reed is out. Dontavian Wicks is out. Christian Watson just got back. So there's Matthew Golden just had the shoulder injury. Defensive end, Brenton Cox is on IR. Colin Oliver hasn't come back yet. And then, LVN is still coming back from injury as well. So some of those areas, you don't have anything to kind of trade away. I think the bigger thing is Goody's, as we've seen, not afraid of making a trade. Goody is very much not wanting to get involved in what is a seller's market and not a buyer's market when he's looking to be a buyer. If you look at the trades yesterday, I would argue maybe Rasheen Shaheed was one that was a pretty, solid deal, but Green Bay didn't need him, obviously. Other than that, everything was a pretty big seller's market where I thought everything was kind of an overpay for what the team gave up to get said player. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Goody was probably super interested. If there was going to be anything, it was probably going to be like a fifth round pick for like a tight end or a rotational corner or things like that. And we'll see what happens with this Asante Samuel stuff, where he's going to come and visit. Green Bay has interest in him per numerous reports. So maybe that's going to kind of be their big swing at the fence at the quote-unquote trade deadline. But I don't think we should be stunned why Green Bay didn't make a trade yesterday.
I want to put the tight end conversation on the back burner. I definitely want to come back to it. But Asante Samuel, we got to go right there. clear to a physical. I think it's exciting that the Packers are interested and might want to bring him in. But I'm guessing that there are 10 teams that if Asante Samuel is really healthy, there's 10 teams interested. What do the Packers need to do? Do they need Asante Samuel with the Hobbs injury situation? And how do they separate themselves, or how do they make sure that, like, when he comes to Green Bay, he doesn't leave Green Bay?
Yeah, are they the sexiest option?
They might very well be.
You're the sexiest option. Come on.
Thank you.
Number one pick as well. So a couple things. There have been three teams that he's going to work out for reportedly so far. Carolina is first. And then in some order, he's going to go see Green Bay and Minnesota. So there's been three reported teams that have significant interest and he's going to go work out with. Why I think Green Bay is actually a very smart option for Asante Samuel and why this makes sense is, one, what he's mostly looking for is a team where he can go out, play a ton, play really well, and recoup his value, because he's going to sign a one-year remainder of the year deal, right? It's not going to be anything long-term. So he wants to be able to go out and play well, so in free agency next year, he can get a big contract. So he's not looking to go to any team that's just going to have him in a rotational role or bench him or anything like that. He wants to play right away. Well, Green Bay has the ability right away to say, yep, you can come in and compete and probably play at outside corner. That's not a big deal. We're going to get you on the field.
Yep.
The second thing is that there is real familiarity here with Derek Ansley, who he worked with as his defensive backs coach as a member of the Chargers. And per reports, they are still close. And, you know, there's a possibility that that could play a factor in this as well. And then I think the other thing, man, if you're going to sign for a team on a 1 year remainder of the season sort of contract, I mean, it probably doesn't hurt if you have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl and are at least a team that's competing as well, right? Like Carolina, I know, just beat Green Bay, but I don't think anyone's got them on their Super Bowl bingo card. Same, Minnesota just upset Detroit, but I don't think anyone's got them on their Super Bowl bingo card. Green Bay is still very much in that conversation. You add another good corner to that list, and it makes some sense there as well. And then I'm sure the last thing is, you know, a little bit of that dollars and cents will probably play into this as well. But if you start looking at, you know, Green Bay's got the salary cap space. That is not an issue. They don't have to clear anything. They have plenty of it if they want to use it. They've got the connection with Ansley. They've got the starting spot available. And again, they have an opportunity to go out and win. That seems like a pretty enticing pitch to one Asante Samuel Jr.
And you make it sound so easy. Is it that, regardless of Carolina and Minnesota, is it that easy in a Goody world? Also now under policy though, where maybe there's that desire more to make a move, especially after the Parsons move. Is it that simple that in a Goody world, if they like Samuel, if Samuel likes them, do they make it happen? Or is there still some of that Green Bay Packers stigma of like, we don't sign free agents, we don't go outside the organization, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't think there's anything like that. I mean, they've signed a ton of free agents. They just traded for Micah Parsons. So I don't think there's anything like that. I think where this just could potentially get complicated is if everything's equal, but Minnesota's offering $1 million more, or Carolina's offering $1 million more, is Green Bay willing to match that? Green Bay has been pretty cautious with, I know people always say like, well, Green Bay signs people who've been injured all the time, but not like big time injuries, not like neck injuries, not things like that. They've kind of shied away from that. So when they bring him in, I'm sure they're going to run him through the gamut of all the physical and all that sort of stuff to make sure that he's 100% good to go. But if he passes the physical, he wants to be here. They want him and everything checks out. Ansley gives him a good report. I mean, I do think, again, that there is a logical conclusion to jump to, that this does make sense for both sides.
Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. Andy, one more question about Asante Samuel. Is it going to take a multi-year deal to get this done wherever he goes? Does he want some security, it sounds like? Or is this something where it could be one and done if Green Bay makes maybe an enticing one-year offer and then they can evaluate at the end of the year?
Yeah, if I'm him and his agent, I mean, if some team's willing to give him like a 4 year, you know, $60 million deal or something, then yeah, of course, I'm going to take that a million times over a million. I don't think it makes sense for any franchise to do that based on the injury that just happened. And I think what makes sense for both sides, regardless of where he goes, is to sign a 1 year deal for the remainder of this season. for that team. They get the rental. They get somebody that can help them for the remainder of the year. They get to see if he can stay healthy and what kind of shape he's in and if he can go out and play good defense without having to put any long-term money into it. And for Asante Samuel, again, he's looking to go out, play his best brand of football so that he can get back on the market in March as a unrestricted free agent and get the most amount of money possible when maybe there's more teams that are willing to bid for him at that point in time.
Andy Herman joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Gruber Law Guest Hotline. Let's look at tight end, and I don't know if you want to talk about, you know, the effects of the injury of Tucker Kraft, what Luke Musgrave has to do now to step up, why the Packers wouldn't trade a fifth or a sixth rounder for tight end depth, and what the loss of Ben Sims means and affects this whole potpourri of tight end chaos as well. So you have the floor, tight ends.
It's a lot of questions. Let's see if I can nail as many as possible. All right. So first of all, I mean, everyone knows, I'm not breaking any news here, that the Kraft injury is devastating on so many levels. All right. So first of all, just as a pure, you know, we've seen all these teams play a lot of too high safeties against Green Bay. And one of the superpowers that Kraft has is his yards after the catch ability. I think he leads, not only leads the team, I think he was like fourth in the league going into last week. And I think he had more than the rest of the Packers team combined. You lose one of your true superpowers on offense with his run after the catch ability. But it's so much more than that. He's been a red zone threat. He's been somebody that gets your offense going, has sort of been that catalyst for the offense. He's a captain. He's a team leader. He's the guy that brings the energy that, like I said, the catalyst and gets everyone going on offense. He's able to lawn dart his way into random situations and get extra yardage when you don't think anything's there. But it's even beyond that, you have his ability as a blocker. We're not talking Mercedes Lewis or even George Kittle-esque, but he's a good blocker at tight end. And your number one replacement with Luke Musgrave is a very bad blocker. Mm. So on a run unit that's already struggling with their offensive line to run block, now you're downgrading the run blocking at the tight end position as well. So this is captain. This is intangibles. This is red zone. This is run after the catch. He's a better receiving tight end, and he's a better blocking tight end. You are losing in every stretch of the imagination by losing Tucker Kraft. Not great. The good news is that Luke Musgrave is still a good tight end, and I do think he's still bringing. We saw it in a very small sample size at the end of last game. Three catches and showed again what he's capable of. And in a weird way, he kind of fits as like a primary receiving tight end more than he fits in any other role. He's not a number three tight end because he can't play special teams and he can't block. He's not a great complementary tight end. He kind of needs to be the guy that you're targeting at tight end, or he kind of has no value. So now he actually is in a role where he has value again. And, you know, it's only a couple years ago where he was the number one tight end on this team on a very successful offense. So they're just going to have to reintegrate him and sort of utilize his strengths. What I'd like to see out of Musgrave is a little bit more of a red zone threat. He has not been a red zone threat at all in his career. And I'd like to see him get up the seam a little bit more and see if he can stretch the field with some of his speed. That's where I want to see that from him. And I still think there's ways to utilize him.
Tommy just wants him to not fall down so much.
He falls down every time he touches the ball.
And again, that's where, again, you're going from Mr. Best yards after the catch tight end of the league to like negative yards after the catch, right? That's a problem. That's a big problem. So they're going to have to figure out again how Musgrave fits in certain situations, what he does well, and utilize him in different ways than you use Kraft, because they're two totally different types of tight ends. Ben Sims hurting is a bummer. I don't think it mitigates anything all that much. It would have been nice to have him as a number three tight end. He's probably an upgrade over Josh Wiley, but it's not anything super crazy. As far as why they didn't make the trade, I think the biggest thing that I would say here is that it probably just takes two to tango. And, you know, if you want that tight end, you can't just, you know, say like, hey, I want Michael Mayer. I will give you a fifth round pick. The Raiders are like, no, we don't want to give him up for a fifth round pick. Like, I know he's our number two, but we have no interest in doing that. And so like they say, well, we want a three, and Green Bay says, well, we're not going to give a three for Michael Mayer. Can you be serious for a moment? So I just think it probably comes down a little bit more to, you know, the cost of some of those players. And then when you get into Chigakonkwo was available from the Titans. Is that, you know, he's undersized. He's a receiving tight. He can't block. He might be a worse blocker than Musgrave. Does that actually add anything? Or are you just getting a worse version of Luke Musgrave? So sometimes doing something for the sake of doing something isn't actually doing anything. You're not actually gaining any progress. And I think in this case, letting Musgrave and Fitzpatrick, who are probably the two best options of something that you could have found at a realistic price, makes sense. I always liked Wiley. Riley as a, I think it was a fifth round pick in 2023. He's a solid receiving tight end. I'm interested to see. Sometimes these tight ends take a few years to develop, and maybe he's just in that sweet spot. We'll see. But it's no matter what, this all goes back to, it's a devastating loss with Tucker Kraft. Did I answer all of them? Did I miss one?
No, sounds good to me.
That was good.
Andy, yeah. I have a question about this Packers offense. Are they going to be in an identity crisis this second half of the season? Yeah. Because it felt like they were maybe leaning into Tucker Kraft being a part of that identity, and they were going to maybe let Jordan Love sling a little bit and, you know, do whatever he wants with Tucker on the field. And Josh Jacobs, it hasn't really been the same this year as it was last year with Green Bay, and now Tucker Kraft goes down and the offensive line can't run block for anything. Like, I feel like the offense is in an identity crisis heading into the second half of the season.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if it's the second half, but I think they've been in one in the first half of the season. You know, so I do think that they have got to figure out who they want to be. And this is one of my criticisms of Matt, is it feels like the identity is, what does the other team do poorly, and we want to attack that, which is not a bad idea in general. I just don't know that it can be the core of who you are as a team, especially as teams change up things week to week, and other coaches are really good at scheming things too and changing things up when you least expect it. So I don't think that that can be the core. And I think Green Bay has to figure out what part of your run offense works well. How can you run the ball effectively? They haven't really figured that out yet. And then, you know, now losing Tucker Kraft, your key run after the catch, if all these teams are going to play too high safeties, your biggest run after the catch player is now up for the season. We know you want to be a downfield deep passing offense, but again, teams are playing soft zone. You got to get them out of that first before you can attack down the field. So they have to figure out how they're going to go about doing that. Clearly, some of the horizontal stuff has not been working the way that they want, or I think any Packers fans has wanted it to work at this point in time. And when you all of a sudden start looking down at the play sheet and say, well, we're not running the ball effectively, all of our jet sweeps and our outside screens aren't working the way that we want, we can't pass down the field because they're playing too soft of a zone on us, and the middle of the field is all jammed up because, again, we're not stretching the field horizontally, you start looking at the play sheet and be like, all right, what are we going to go to here? So I think that has to be what they figure out, is how you kind of sequence some of this stuff together. That's all still with, I think, like a top 10 offense in this league. And whether you want to look at DVOA or points or however you want to view it, they're still really good. It just feels like there is so much more out there for them, and they just have to find a better rhythm and consistency.
And Andy, let's get to another hard hitter. Matt LaFleur, under a lot of criticism over his performances and the losses specifically for Green Bay. And traditionally, I would probably say pump the brakes, and you know, this is a 5-2-1 team, so things are going well. They're in the NFC North. They're the top team in a very competitive division. But for the first time against Carolina, you know, he's saying things like, we knew exactly what they were going to do, and this is right where we thought they would be. And it just seems like, if you knew this, why didn't you have any counteraction towards what Carolina was going to do to try and control the ball game the way they did and ultimately give you the second loss of the season? Like, Matt LaFleur right now, I'm not saying that his seat should be hot.
Oh, you just fired Matt LaFleur, dude.
But I'm saying that we need to remember these two losses and these two performances when that conversation ultimately might come up. And some already have wanted him fired, right? Some are already just calling for his job right now. Where are you right now on Matt LaFleur as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we talked about is, you know, from the identity standpoint, is who do you want to be and what do you want to do? And again, you hear what Matt said, you know, like, well, this is where we thought this game was going to be. This is what we thought they were going to do. Okay, what do you want? I want less focus on what the other team is doing and what they're.
Right.
I want you go out and play your game. You make it so that they have to bend to your will, not that you're moving everything around and changing the pieces every week based on what the other. Of course, there's going to be scheming and game planning, but again, there has to be something that you can lean on. Yes, that you can lean on that you're going to be good at every single week. So I just think there has to be that mentality of like, we're the best. We're going to go out and crush this team. Yes, you have to be prepared for them, but I don't want this of like, well, we have to be cautious because we know they're going to come in and play us stuff. No, go out for the kill. Go out and play a four-quarter game and get your side of the house fixed up first so that these penalties and the mistakes and all the stuff that we've seen over and over, the special teams and the missed kicks, et cetera, don't continue to happen. And I think that's when you're going to start seeing this team play better. And here's the thing with Matt and for the hot seat and everything like that, right? Everyone understands the expectations for this team. When you trade for Micah Parsons, you're inviting, hey, it's Super Bowl time. You are inviting the expectations. And Goody has said all along, like, hey, we understand what the expectations are in Green Bay every year. You may understand that the expectations are Super Bowl. You go get Micah Parsons on a team that was already considered to be a, you know, fringe slash legitimate contender. And now all it's all in. It's all, you know, full steam ahead. So if this is a team that, you know, goes on a huge losing streak and doesn't make the playoffs, or, you know, falters towards the end and the same mistakes pop up and they have a similar game to like Philly in the playoffs week one of the playoffs a year ago, where they lose right away and it wasn't really competitive, then yeah, all of those things are going to come up. All of those questions are going to be asked and the Packers are going to have to decide what they do in that situation. But we're also talking about a team, despite the teams that they lost to, that has lost two games, the same as every other team in the NFL. Every team's that lost at least two games, they've lost by a combined 6 points. They've been the better team on the field in all eight games. That can be a credit or an indictment of Matt LaFleur, mm-hmm. however you want to view it. You can make an argument either way, but they've been the better team in all eight games. And again, they've lost by a total of 6 points. So I think that there is still a lot out there. And the biggest thing that I look at is you got to fix your side of the house. And the other thing is, I do think if and when this team starts to block a little bit better and actually get turnovers, which has been a huge issue for them, you're going to start seeing this team play a totally different style of football. Now, whether they can do that or not, that will be the ultimate sign of what this season's going to bring the rest of the way.
All right, two more quick ones for you then, Andy. I'm
taking all the questions today.
Do you have one?
What do you mean?
Do you want to go with one? Go for it.
No. I want to hear where you're going, Tom.
Well, what is that point?
Just don't ask about the kicker.
What is that point for Matt LaFleur? If this team doesn't win a playoff game, like all of a sudden, like everyone's heads turn. If this team doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, like what is that point?
Here's where I'm at with everything. A missed playoffs plus a lost locker room, and I think he's gone, would be my guess. I think it has to be missing the playoffs and losing the locker room. If those things happen, I think there's a very strong chance there's a new coach in Green Bay next year. If it's a missed playoffs, but the locker room believes in him, they love him, they like him, et cetera. Everything seems, they're still fighting for him. I think he probably is back next year on the remainder of his 1 year that's left in basically a it's now or never sort of season, all pressure on. If it's, again, one and done in the playoffs, lost the locker room, a lot of questions, potentially gone in that situation. One and done in the playoffs, locker room loves him, still everything is good, they're fighting for him. Probably back on the one year sort of deal. Anything above and beyond that, winning a playoff game and then losing, or going to the championship game and losing, Super Bowl and losing, or Super Bowl obviously and winning, I think he's back, and I don't think there's much question about it. How he earns that extension, though, and makes it so that it's not a lame duck year and it's like a long-term lucrative extension, he's going to have to make noise in the playoffs. I think it's going to take at least an NFC championship game and maybe even reaching the Super Bowl to get that other than anything other than maybe like a one-year extension, which really doesn't mean much of anything.
Are we just gonna have two kickers on the roster for the rest of the year? So is that a good football decision, Andy?
It's the stupidest thing. All right.
Thank you.
This is the most Packers thing ever. Yep. Where I don't know if you saw the stat from our buddy Dare Kiger, who covers the team over at Packer Report. The Packers have less than 5 yards per punt return this season. The last team to do that was the 2020 Packers.
Yep.
And the last team to do it before that was the 2019 Packers. it's so stupid. And then you can't feel the returner. And it's so much to the point that when Romeo Doubs just catches the ball and gets 5 yards, it feels amazing. We're like, oh hell yeah, they've got a returner. He can catch the ball and get 5 yards on a play. And that is like historically bad. So that's dumb. Like historically bad. Yep. All right, so that's number one. Number two, only Green Bay would have a whole nother position for a second kicker, and when the first one is struggling and not making kicks and still hurt per Matt LaFleur, the second kicker on the roster, they're still like, nah, we're not going to use that guy. We're not going to use him. And then even when they've decided we're going to go with McManus, we're still holding on to the second kicker. That makes no sense. Also, just to add on to this beautiful special teams, you know, potpourri, you know, swarm of love, we have an all-pro kick returner for two seasons. that is not returning kicks in the season that more kicks are being returned than ever before. Nothing about Packers special teams ever makes a lick of sense. And you, no matter which way you look at it, it just remains the fact, no matter who's the special teams coach or anything else like that.
I hate all of them.
No comp pick for Ben Sims, by the way.
What is the comp pick then? Aren't they lined up for a comp pick because of the signing?
They should have comp picks coming next year when people are signed away. If like Romeo Dobbs, Rasheed Walker, Sean Ryan, etc., sign elsewhere. But that's an in-season, or not an in-season, that's an off-season thing where if people leave in unrestricted free agency, that then there's a comp pick formula depending on how many players you sign against how many players they, you know, were signed away from you and things like that. And it gets very complicated very fast. But no, Ben Sims does not factor into the comp pick formula.
Well, what I mean, Wendell Fajeda, another one of our really good friends, they were not initially projected to comp pick in 2026, but now, thanks to the Vikings, it sounds like they will because of this. And maybe it's Eric Wilson. Is that used as a comp pick for it in that way?
That's interesting. I'll have to look at that a little bit because Sims should not affect that as far as I'm aware. But maybe Eric Wilson could. But did they release Eric Wilson? I'll have to.
According to it, former Packer linebacker Eric Wilson has become a defensive starter for the Vikings, and the number of snaps he plays is part of a comp pick for the formula. And gotcha. Because they lost, is it Cashman, like for a little bit of time or whoever? Maybe it's Van Ginkel and he's working his way in. Like, according to Wendell Fajeda, it is.
Salary and snaps.
Yeah, they're lined up for a chance to maybe get a comp pick out of it. So
if so, that's going to be like the very it like might literally be Mr. Irrelevant. But maybe Green Bay gets Mr. Irrelevant, no. So that's not the worst
Brock
thing in the
Purdy,
world. Either.
Brock Purdy coming to the Green Bay Packers.
Can Giannis get a foul call?
Can you make that happen? He cannot.
No.
It is really remarkable some of the stuff that happens in that regard. I'll just say, I know last night was a back-to-back in Toronto. You could see that one coming a mile away, but I do really enjoy how this team is playing so far. I'm hoping that when Kevin Porter gets back, you get a little bit more depth there at the guard position as well.
I think he'll add some juice. I agree.
I do too. I think there's you know, you need one more piece, maybe, you know, figure.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
About something, but I enjoyed this team so far, and that's all I could have asked for going into the year.
He's Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast, at Andy Herman NFL. Find the Packaday Podcast everywhere where you listen to your podcast. Andy, thanks so much for jumping on. We'll listen to you throughout the week on all of our shows here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, and you'll be right back here next Wednesday. So we won't have a chance to talk before Monday night's game, but I know you'll enjoy that. I don't know if I want to ask you for a prediction at this point, but would anything surprise you at this point?
No. If it was Philly by 20, Packers by 20, or anything in between, I'd be like, yep, that totally checks out.
Yeah.
All I say is I'm more afraid of the Giants game on the road than I am about Philly at home. That's just the way that this Packers team has played so far.
Amen, brother. Andy, thanks so much for jumping on today.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Andy Herman, at Andy Herman NFL. Follow him all over all the socials. Packaday Podcast does amazing work every day on YouTube, just churning out content and awesomeness and greatness, etc. I threw up a question on Facebook. Why do you like sports? The Brewers lost in the playoffs. Kraft is hurt and the Packers lost to the Panthers. Giannis can't get a call. Remind me why you like sports. It's up on the Thunder MKE Facebook page. We've got a ton of response. We'll get to that next. Right here on Thunder and Tommy, we are the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.